Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 447. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, sir?
Not a whole heck of a lot, Kevin. I just got back in this morning from beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I attended SmackDown Live last night. And I believe you also attended a WWE Live event and will be attending another one in the coming days.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy stint for me for live wrestling. I am quite sure that I have not gone to this much professional wrestling in this short a time frame. Throw in a new Ohio show. I did not, unfortunately, get down to the Arnold Classic like I was imploring everyone to. other things took precedence. Oh, actually, the beer that I'm drinking took precedence at least one of the days. But I'll get to that later. so it was NXT Columbus, which they've started to do because I believe this is the third year that they've done it in conjunction with the Arnold also. They do it, at least third, maybe fourth, but, whatever the exact case is, they've been doing a Midwest swing around this now. And, you know, it was a fun show for it. It was 2 hours with an intermission. So it moved along pretty quick. But there was some crazy person I remember seeing the post about them trying to nominate the Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream match for match of the year. And to say that that was a little over the top in its opinion would be understating it. Because it wasn't as good as their takeover match. Like, it was a good match and definitely the best match on the card. But, you know, I guess that was the only thing about that show is that I kind of knew that pretty much everyone had had better wrestling matches elsewhere. So, you know, it was fun attending the show. I definitely learned something. ROH runs the same venue. And that is going to be one of my bigger takeaways is don't go cheap and just pay for the general admission standing room. Because it does not have a very good vantage point to the wrestling ring.
Yeah, just standing room only usually is not the cream of the crop of views in pretty much anything. Yeah, you like to have a seat, have nothing obstructing your view, and that's usually pretty good.
Yeah, because. Our best angle was, it did end up being kind of interesting. We were behind all the techs who had everything set up in front of them. So we were watching a lot of the inner workings of broadcasting or doing a show there.
Huh.
We were a little disappointed that they had a video screen that did work, but they only used it basically to show entrances. We thought that that was a little bit of a strange use of your equipment. So, I know that they've run this venue. This is at least the second year at this venue. So, I mean, if they did something wrong last year, they should have been able to fix it. I would imagine. But I guess the video presentation is not big for the on-the-road NXT shows. Because I guess that's the other thing. This is the first time I've actually been to it this year. So that, yeah, I guess it's kind of interesting I haven't been to, I guess that's, I hadn't thought about it until right now, but I haven't been to a house show since I lived in the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania, and somewhere around the time that my dream was shattered that professional wrestling wasn't real, when Hacksaw Jim
Wow.
Duggan and the Iron Sheik, just shortly before making an appearance at the Jaffa Mosque in Altoona, Pennsylvania, got caught for smoking pot together.
Oh yeah. That's quite the one and only house show memory, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say that that happened a few days before because it was reported in the paper that but yeah, I mean, I have not been to a house show for a long time. So, you know, I'm talking 20 plus years that I haven't been to a house show. So I guess that was kind of the interesting thing about that is like and I hadn't really thought about it, is that I went to a house show and I guess I kind of understand, like everyone, at least the wrestlers say that they do all their kind of learning on those. And I guess I could see that taking place at this NXT show that I saw.
Right. Yeah. NXT is certainly the place where wrestlers are learning, and an NXT house show is certainly a time to start experimenting things that could be transferred to TV.
So, yeah, that's crazy. Wow, that's a long time since I've seen a house show. But anyway, more recent, really was your, I have not, Columbus has not had a SmackDown Live in a very long time. And despite the fact that they're having a SmackDown Live pay-per-view, I've only gone to Raws recently. So I know that it is a different feel, and you kind of mentioned that because you got the Mixed Match Challenge match also?
Yeah. It goes SmackDown, Mixed Match Challenge, then the entire episode of 205 Live, then they do a dark match.
Oh my God, why do they do a dark match after that?
Because you need to have something to entice people to stick around through 205 Live. Yeah, that didn't quite work. My group and I left right after Shinsuke Nakamura's entrance during the dark match for his match with Rusev.
Oh, okay.
We were tempted to leave during 205 Live, but we didn't end up leaving until afterward. It's not a they got to do something about the formatting of these SmackDown Live events. There is no reason why. I guess I get the whole mixed match challenge thing and why they do it the way they do it. But it's time to move 205 Live elsewhere. Whether it's starting the actual live event an hour earlier so that it's
Oh.
out of the way, whether it's University, which I would probably be my pick as far as something to do because you have a more appreciative, more alive crowd there. Or at the very least, be short. They do another entire 45, 50-minute show for 205 Live.
Yeah,
There's
I
no need for, especially with Mixed Match Challenge in there, which I know Mixed Match Challenge is ending. I believe the SmackDown before, the Tuesday before WrestleMania, but still, while Mixed Match Challenge is going on, if you're gonna just still do it, call it live and do it after Smack. This show should be 30 minutes tops, with two real quick matches, two very fast paced matches. You don't typically watch 205 Live, do you? Or make it a
You know, because I have been told that it is under new direction, I did watch, I think, one of the... Yeah, I watched one of the new episodes. Because it wasn't... Because, what, Triple H supposedly took it over, correct?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I believe... Oh, you know what? It was... I watched the second... Because I thought I was clicking on the first week of the challenge, you know, the tournament that they started for the Cruiserweight title again.
Right.
Yeah. I ended up watching the second episode of that by accident because I thought it was the first one.
Yeah.
But,
it's no fault of the talent in the Cruiserweight matches. It's just a very long night. The show peaks at the end of SmackDown, and then it just keeps going. Thankfully, this week, the Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss versus Jimmy Uso and Naomi match was a lot of fun live, and I'm sure that translates. So I definitely recommend going out of your way to watch that. It was a really fun match. You know, Braun and Alexa... you know, play really well off of each other, and I'd really hope that Jimmy and Naomi have great chemistry with each other. So it really, really, that one really clicked with me. The SmackDown main event and that match were definitely the most fun matches. And then the show just kept going. And there were great moments. There were great moments during each of the Cruiserweight tournament matches.
Uh huh.
But they didn't need to be that long. They didn't need to have, you know, the typical match format. You didn't need to have you know a filling out process, wear down holds, and maybe the Drew Gulak match. You needed some spectacle wrestling because that's his whole gimmick. But each match didn't need to go 15 minutes apiece. And they threw basically a squash match in between. They still did their promo videos in between. It's just like. It just makes the night so long, and it's very, very unnecessary. And it's not fair to talent. It's you know, they have to work. Talent at 205 Live after SmackDown is over has to work really, really hard to get a quarter of the reaction of the big stars on SmackDown, and these guys are really, really, you know. Putting their bodies through some pretty intense stuff to get, you know, essentially get golf claps. I mean, by the end of the Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali match, the crowd was pretty the 1,000 people left were pretty enthralled with it.
Oh, right.
But they're still put them in that situation where, you know, they're literally watching people leave as they're wrestling and thinking, all right, well, gotta start busting out the really big moves now and get this crowd back into it, and it's just kind of a lost cause. It's just like you got to start putting them there in a better environment.
Well, yeah, like I think that the biggest problem is the one that you mentioned first, which was the crescendo of the show is the main event of SmackDown. Like if they came on before SmackDown. In SmackDown were on the hour later, it would probably work. It would work better for them. There might not still be as much crowd there because I think crowds would just start to get there later. But I still think it'd be a much better environment because, like, I feel like from the description that you're talking about, you know, like the dark match usually to start a live show. I would say it has more eyeballs and gets a better reaction in my estimation.
There was a dark match before SmackDown Live, and it was The New Day versus Gable and Benjamin. It was a good match.
Oh,
it always gets the crowd into it. The crowd was pretty much molten hot during it. You know, first time seeing real stars come out, which I guess it is. Completely what you would see with 205 Live, but I think live crowds would be way more appreciative of it. The show doesn't need to be called 205 Live. It doesn't need to actually be live. It doesn't need to be a full, because it's a full show, with all the breaks, inserted in and everything over the course of, 45 minutes or longer. Just tape the two matches, two 10, 15 minute matches, start the show at, quarter after, 7:15 or 6, 6:15 if you're in it, or 4:15, whatever, based on whatever time zone you're in, and just get them out there, and then let them do their matches and have good fast paced matches. Don't have to be as long, and then film backstage stuff separately and insert it into the show.
Yeah, I mean, even something like that would probably help the product overall. It would give you more of a reason, even if you were attending and you wanted to watch more of it, it would give you a reason to watch the online product a little bit more. Because you'd see the matches, but you wouldn't see the backstage stuff.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're in a tough spot. And because I can tell you, too, that I guess I've been to Raw's, so I've been to a lot of 3-hour shows on my own. And it doesn't really feel any better when it's one long show either.
We beat horse to death about robbing 3 hours. That's of course.
Essentially, SmackDown's live events end up being that long, too, though. It's just that they're segmented into other parts.
They end up being over 3.5 hours long, from the first dark match all the way to the last dark match. 3.5 hours. And that is, it does not need to be that long, especially when you don't have the stars to do it. You don't have your, it's just formatted ass backwards. There's no reason for this. I mean,
yeah,
it's match challenge really isn't so much of a problem because there are real stars in those matches.
Oh, right.
People will stay up for it, and especially since number of those stars are going to be visiting from Raw, so they're maybe a bit of a surprise or a bonus to have them on that show. So that works out, but enough of the audience is going to sit through a 205 live taping, a 205 live, live show, and it's not the 1980s. You don't get to have people sit through 4 hours of squash matches at those TV tapings just to have Hulk Hogan come up for 5 minutes.
Oh,
they also don't star at the level of Hulk Hogan, so it's I love Shinsuke Nakamura, but that's just not quite enough.
Especially since you're not getting Rusev versus Nakamura's best match or anything close to it.
Right. No. We left. At least I got to see Nakamura's entrance. At least I felt that part. But it's still it's still a fun show. Once again, just kind of formatted ass backwards. SmackDown, I think SmackDown was I like last night's SmackDown. I think a lot of the live crowd was disappointed that John Cena did not appear, even though he was never advertised to, but he's been inserted in the main event storyline, so even though he's not advertised, you still expect him to show up.
And that was kind of funny, too, that I don't know why... Cena wrestled on Raw, didn't he?
Yeah. If you could call it that. A 3-minute match with Goldust, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, okay. Corey Graves was completely right then. When he was saying, because, that was one thing that was kind of strange. Like, I know that when I was watching Elimination Chamber, I'm like, man, Fastlane is going to be a wreck. Like, that's all I thought to myself. I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I watched last night's show, and I'm like, you know, I'm, well, A, last week when they announced Usos versus New Day, I'm like, yup, okay, I'll take it. That's worth the ticket price right there. But after this week's show, I'm like, oh, man, like, it's kind of a weird card, but I think everything should work out. Like, the five-man match that they had tonight with pretty much the whole main event for Fastlane was way more fun than I expected it to be.
Yeah, no, you... Once again, SmackDown went into the Raw playbook, as they've been doing quite a bit as of late, and just decided to have basically one long match, you know, highlight the entire hour of the show, which was a good move. Once again, in the short term, these good long matches on TV are working, but in the long term, are they going to continue covering for not so good writing overall?
Oh.
Probably not. So they should really start working on their stories, and hopefully they can really start moving a lot more things forward in WrestleMania, towards WrestleMania and beyond. But I've been enjoying the good wrestling that's been on WWE TV as of late, and last night, no exception. I could tell that AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler were going long by how long their feeling out process was, and creating moves. Their match was not nowhere near, you know, what the two of them are fully capable of, their one-on-one match. So I kind of had the idea in my head that, you know, something was going to happen here, especially with so much time left in the show.
Right.
And they ran out Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, then had Shane McMahon interrupt, and then bring Grant Corbin out to the ring, so they did the original, you know, five-way match, just non-title. And that was a hell of a match.
Like I said, like, I'm like, oh my god, I'm pumped for Fastlane. Like, I was not expecting this a couple of weeks ago at Elimination Chamber.
I
don't know if there are too many outcomes that are really in suspense in the situation, but I think that the matches should be a lot of fun.
I'm not sure about any title changes, actually. I definitely see AJ retaining.
Oh, but once right.
Again, obviously, the five-way proved that it's not like I think the match is going to be any worse than the match they had last night with Cena involved and the title at stake. So, in fact, it probably will be a better match. So, but that'll be good. But once again, I don't see a title change there.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not with Nakamura already waiting in the wings and to talk about the dream match. The situation with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn going ahead will be interesting. I thought that was a great swerve in a lot of ways. You don't think he's gonna, you know, even if you think start thinking that Sami Zayn is suckering in Kevin Owens, you don't think he's gonna pull the trigger at SmackDown, but he did, and that was a good twist, because you're always kind of expecting that Kevin Owens will be the one to turn against his partner and best friend, but this time it was Sami Zayn. I did like that.
So you're relating this to Bayley finally not tagging Sasha.
No, I'm relating it to Kevin Owens did Chris Jericho last year. I wasn't even thinking about Bayley at all.
Well, I always think that in and of the fact that the guy that gets double crossed all the time finally thinks of doing the double crossing.
True, I guess there's something there. But obviously, the same as he did was outright, well,
yeah, harmful.
It was outright heelish.
Yeah. Yeah, when you give your best friend your finishing maneuver and then pin him for a match, that's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah,
Which was really awesome. Like, I mean, I've really loved heel Sami Zayn. Like, it was something that I was not expecting in a lot of ways. Just because he had been such, like, it just seemed like a perfect role for him to be a babyface. But he's really found a home in the heel division. And I hope that's a good thing for him. Like, I know that it's way too soon for anything to happen for him at WrestleMania this year, but you know, I just hope for better things for him. Because he has kind of hung around but not really gotten to do anything terribly significant after his original Kevin Owens feud.
He hasn't, and it'd be interesting to see what happens going into WrestleMania. Will Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn reconcile? Will they feud? Will they have a match at WrestleMania? Will Kevin Owens turn full-fledged babyface for the first time in his WWE career? That's all in play here. So even though, once again, I don't see them winning, their story playing out in play on, and their road to WrestleMania, it's definitely interesting. Way more interesting than what's going than Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin's presence in the match.
Oh.
Warm bodies.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that thinks that they have a shot at at winning this thing is just ludicrous, honestly. Because in no way are those two even getting a sniff of that title. Like, you could sell me on giving it to Kevin Owens, I suppose, but it just really is not happening for Ziggler, or Corbin, who, like, I guess it's always interesting. They always seem high on him. But they haven't really ever, every time it seems like they committed to him, things haven't worked out and he's just moved down the card. Like, it's kind of one of those interesting things. Like, I feel like he's on his third chance at this point.
Yeah, he definitely is, but they keep going back to him though. They don't just let him languish. They do back on him. They seem to sometimes possibly punish him, but they always bring him back. And that yo-yo booking has been the death of so many people, including the aforementioned Dolph Ziggler. So it's just he'll get to a point where, well, and he never had Ziggler's ups. He never had Ziggler's potential. He never, he's never shown the highs of the career of Dolph Ziggler. He's a guy the audience has always been lukewarm on, and at best, on his best day, lukewarm. And now,
Right.
the constant, start and stop pushes, he's going to continue to be cold.
And I guess that is the other thing that's just weird. Like, Ziggler seems like he kind of gives a shit again, which I think is gonna help, but like Corbin, like, there's just almost too much to repair, and it's definitely not gonna get repaired before this WrestleMania. Like,
No, I don't.
they're
I
gonna
don't
be stuck
force.
in a multi-man match at best.
Yeah, right. Or the Battle Royal, which I guess qualifies as a match. Yeah. Neither Corbin nor Ziggler will be in a featured match. Even though Ziggler did make the comment about not never having a one-on-one match at WrestleMania, I guess you could possibly put him in the U.S. title picture, but that U.S. title picture is already so muddled as it is. with Jinder Mahal involved, but not in the match on Sunday, scoring almost clean pinfall wins over Randy Orton. You know, getting the best of Bobby Roode on two consecutive, but not being in the match itself. So that whole situation's, you know, as I said, muddied at best.
Yeah.
Although Orton and Roode should be able to have a good match.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other thing. I was just like, oh, man. Because I think we talked about them simplifying that matchup and getting rid of Jinder Mahal, but they only got rid of him for 1 week. And then they kind of basically reinserted him back into the situation.
It makes sense to put him in to make it a triple threat match, but there's already a 5-way match on the show, and you know, I thought that maybe it would be almost all multiple person matches, but they pulled back on Jinder for a week. Usos and the New Day didn't appear in front of the live crowd at all during SmackDown. They didn't forward anything with the Bludgeon Brothers or with Gable and Benjamin and their never ending complaints about their treatment. So they didn't pull out any of that. So I that's going to continue as a regular tag team match. I assume Orton and Roode are going to have a one-on-one match. Maybe Jinder Mahal interferes. With Jinder Mahal waiting in the wings, I don't know where a lot of things are going for WrestleMania, especially when it comes to SmackDown and the tag team titles, the West title, and
Yeah, well, and I would have to think, it, at a minimum, that the Usos are going to get a spot at WrestleMania.
Oh, they better. I'm absolutely certain that they will at this point. There's no way.
Yeah, like, I know that... you can just tell from the way the promos are that they don't, no one writes for them, much like the New Day. But I'd imagine they still give them pointers. And if they were going to bring that up, I'm sure that that was a situation where you probably need to get that one okayed before you went out and used it.
Right, yeah. I see you, so certainly, whether it's, it might be the Bludgeon Brothers as the WrestleMania opponents, because they keep teasing that, and then that's out there. It's always been in the background this whole time period, and so I could see that being the match. I could see another going with another multiple team match. I'm certain that the plan is for the Usos to get their WrestleMania moment finally.
Oh right. Yeah, which will be pretty awesome if that ends up being the case. I will be pretty excited about that. But I am, like I said, that Usos New Day match, I am so excited to see that on Sunday. They've actually probably had so many good matches, it's in some ways hard to top. Like, because it's just going to be a normal tag team match, which will make things pretty interesting. Although they've had good just tag team matches, so.
Right, of course. Yeah, it's just a great match. I'm sure it'll be a great match again. I'm definitely looking forward to that one. It's one of those matches that I can never tire of, especially if you put a number of months in between matches between them. I guess that's not saying never get tired of, but there's no matter how many months you put in between, I don't see them ever again. So, yeah, kudos to the Usos and the New Day for always keeping it fresh and interesting.
And I'm trying to think of what other. Another match that was. Has been in the story there, is Ruby Riott getting ready to take on Charlotte for the you know, SmackDown Women's Championship. Another one, I don't think the result is much in question, because Ruby Riott is not winning the SmackDown Women's Championship. But, I mean, it should be a fairly good match, like, because I think at least in ring she has the most experience. Maybe not in NXT necessarily, but, you know, she was a wrestler before coming there, so I would say she's the one most capable of performing out of her squad in a longer style match.
Yeah, she absolutely is. It should be a good match. I don't doubt that it won't. But once again, the result not particularly in doubt. Heading into WrestleMania, I'm positive Charlotte's gonna, you know, hold on to her crown. And I would say it's looking more and more like we're getting the old switcheroo as far as the women's championship matches at WrestleMania are concerned.
So you're thinking Asuka comes over or does not come over?
I'm thinking Asuka does come over.
Okay.
because tension between Asuka, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax for no reason. I do see it being Charlotte and Asuka, and that would have the potential issues with running a one-on-one match between Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss, and the potential for that to be a stinker. The completely opposite is what we said for Charlotte and Asuka. That has classic women's title championship match written all over it.
Well, yeah, I don't know if quality wise the Bliss Nia Jax proposed match would be it should be more of a squash match. And honestly, I guess I wouldn't have expected any different if Asuka took her on either.
Right. That's the thing. I love Alexa Bliss as a character. There are, you know, I think that the Elimination Chamber win did take her a little long way in being perceived as a little tough. But when faced with these monster women opponents, there's something lacking. She definitely, her size definitely becomes a factor, and her lack of any real, her ability to project herself as tough, you know, has its ceiling. So, yeah.
Right.
Either way for her, it was going to be something that, you know, it was going to be a stretch for her to really get any sustained, believable offense in.
Yeah,
whoever opponent is going to be.
And I guess that's kind of the, I think we mentioned it before, like, Charlotte is a large woman. You know, like,
the match with the Survivor Series between Charlotte and Alexa, that was a challenge. That was,
yeah.
Especially when you tried to have Alexa, you know, control the match, and, you know, as the heel, and Charlotte, you know, fight from underneath, I guess it was all right, but it still just didn't ring very true.
Oh, right.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, once again, they obviously have a plan for Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. They seem like they wanted to do that as a singles match for a while, but kept, you know, not pulling the trigger on it. It looks like that's where they're going. But at least it does leave us with the Charlotte Asuka potential classic.
Oh, yeah. If there's Charlotte and Asuka, I kind of expected that anyway with right. Asuka, because, you know, everyone I think has pointed out that Asuka hasn't ever officially declared. Like, everyone's right. kind of, they've let it just be implied that it would be Alexa, just because they're on the same brand together. But, Yeah, they've definitely left it open the whole time, and that, to me, always seemed like they were moving Asuka over.
Yeah, they wouldn't have made the stipulation if no one was moving over. And Nakamura made it very clear from within 2 minutes that he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, usually when you're talking about a main event style match, and I mean, I think that everyone's kind of noticed this recently at this point, that the top couple of matches are telegraphed pretty early on after the Royal Rumble. And the second after Asuka didn't officially declare Alexa Bliss her opponent at WrestleMania, it was pretty much like, yeah, she's moving over.
Yeah, and I could see her possibly making her declaration as early as Sunday, so that's another thing you could possibly look forward to.
Yeah, and
because at this point, she's beaten just about everyone on Raw. If they're not going with her and Alexa Bliss, there's no reason for her to even be on Raw Monday, so she might as well get a jump start on her SmackDown run.
Like you said, she has a lot of opponents there, even if they're of the babyface variety in some ways. But the SmackDown women have in general been the better of the two depth wise. I know that SmackDown's been a bit of a mess
I completely
recently
disagree, but okay.
Oh,
the SmackDown women having more depth? Power Division's been really good lately. Of course, losing Asuka will be a blow, and it's but it's a move that needs to be made for SmackDown because Charlotte is just so dominant, and she's faced everyone else so many times.
They really have that problem on both shows in some ways because Bliss. Blew through a lot of people on SmackDown, and that's why they flopped her and Charlotte really in the first place.
Yeah, they did. And then since then, Alexa Bliss has really, she's made fools of Bayley and Sasha on a fairly regular basis, which is actually works as far as Bayley and Sasha's feud with each other, because they both failed to win back the Women's Championship from Alexa Bliss. And they're Sasha in particular is really starting to feel, the pressure on her, and the scene with her on the steps crying her eyes out after losing at the Elimination Chamber. She's hit that point where she's snapping, and then Billy's trying to prove that she's not as gullible as people think she is. And that's been a good story so far, and it's tied into the neither of them being able to get the title back from Alexa Bliss for months and months now.
I don't know if that was intentional, very long-term booking.
I don't think so, but it can be perceived that way.
I was going to follow up with that, so you the words just came out of your mouth first. I don't think it was planned, but it's working out and really helping their feud. Because it is definitely not the way that I would have drawn things up. And I don't think the WWE thinks that far in advance. Like, the only time they think that far in advance is from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania.
Not for a match that's going to be that low on the card, no.
And then,
it's just going to be a nice thing to see that there's going to be another singles women's match at WrestleMania that's not for a title. That's going to be a pretty big deal for them. And I hope it makes the main card. They could be a fine opener. They could get something out of Sasha and Bayley there.
I mean, they can have a good to great match. Like, even if they're only given 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So it definitely seems like that match is in the works one way or the other. Well, I guess the one thing that, because I guess I was talking about the depth between the two women's divisions. It did hurt when Raw also when Paige was lost for, an unspecified amount of time.
Yeah, I guess it hurts some, but I don't feel like the whole Absolution thing has really gotten off the ground too well. Actually, I do think that the Riot Squad is doing better
Oh.
as a unit. I think that has been a better fit and better fit into the show that they're on. I do, yeah. But Absolution, I guess they didn't really get to get going with Paige as an active competitor, so. And Manny and Sonya are definitely projects. They're not fully formed yet. They were both, I will not gonna say they were both the main roster too soon, but they're both definitely nowhere near ready to be in singles championship matches.
Oh, right. Yeah. But I guess the only way to expand your divisions, which still has been the case. I mean, like you said, there's going to be two women's singles matches at WrestleMania.
And
Well, at
possibly a
least
third.
two.
At least two, and possibly a third. So, yeah, no, that's plus Ronda Rousey's, Stephanie McMahon mixed tag. So, once again, it's WrestleMania's going to the women, man. I don't know if I like this. I don't know. Wait till somebody takes that out of context.
Oh yeah, we'll just let that one get taken out of context because it would be so easy. But yeah, I mean, that's another one that I guess I feel like they're doing things the right way, like. I think that Rousey still lacks some nuance, but
She's learning this on the fly. She really is. And,
yeah, and she's
she's a high
still
level
like,
athlete, and a great and a personality in her own world. But she's learning how to position live on television.
and man, when she has to get angry, she looks pissed. Like that is
She
one.
looks scary. Yes,
Yeah, that is the
that
one
is her thing.
emotion, and just from her demeanor from when she was in the UFC, like I guess I'm not surprised that that intensity can be brought somewhat easily. But it really helps make up for a lot of the flaws that are kind of in the other parts of being a good professional wrestling character.
I agree. She brings quite a bit to the table. Yes, her angry look, and for to her credit, Stephanie's fear reactions to him are being done pitch perfect. So yeah, she's Rousey's learning on the job, and they're putting her in the easiest position possible. In a perfect world, which would she have been able to just thrown into a women's championship match on her first night in? Yeah, maybe, but she's signed for a long time. She's in this for the long haul. She's supposedly at the performance center training every day, and so again, she'll be ready probably sooner than most. But this whole thing has been a great first story for her.
Yeah, I mean it's played out very very well for everyone involved, really. 'Cause I mean Kurt Angle's kind of gotten a lot of guff from Stephanie over the months. So I mean it definitely plays into that angle too. And It is kind of funny that Ronda Rousey is the one providing most of the action in all scenarios, whether it's woman-on-man violence or her woman-on-woman violence. I guess that's the way to go, too. You highlight the new talent, because the other three jokers in this match are not not gonna. They might be in the product, but they're not a main focus of the product like Rousey will be moving forward, like you said.
Right. No. This is just the beginning for Rousey's WWE career. You know, she'll have every dream match you could think of in the women's division over time. This is to get her feet wet. This is to get her used to being on television. Get her, figure out who she is in this world, and giving her the easiest opponent to throw around and beat up and have the crowd go crazy, and not putting her in a situation where she could potentially be booed against one of the longtime crowd favorites. Stephanie is the most easily hateable person in all of WWE. So the whole thing works. It's working really well. Kurt Angle is doing his job well. I mean, it's no secret he's the number two choice for Rousey's partner, since they couldn't make a deal with The Rock, which they could have never expected that they would so late in the game. But Kurt Angle's done well. He has history. He has his history with Stephanie. He has history with Triple H. Yeah. Him and Triple H can probably do do their usual match from 18 years ago, blindfolded. So they'll be in the ring most of the time, and plus Stephanie can finally get her comeuppance. So that's the whole thing surrounding Stephanie's character. Is there's never anyone who can put her in her place. She gets to growl, beat everyone, berate everyone, emasculate everyone, throw her slaps around, and no one does anything to her. Well, now she can finally get hers in the end.
Do you think you're finally going to get some ultimate weirdness from the Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy feud now that it is moving to compound?
I'm so looking forward to this. I think this is a lot of potential. It sounds like they're not going to go with that at WrestleMania, which is probably a good move. I don't think that stuff on location stuff, really fits in with the WrestleMania vibe. You could totally build an entire episode of Raw around it. Just keep going back to the compound, every couple of segments or something, just kind of stretch it out over the course of an entire show. I think that would be a very, very good use of time on Raw. It's something that's made for television, and that's something that Impact figured out. That when they try to do stuff on pay per view on their pay per views that within the Broken Universe, it didn't work as well as the stuff that aired on Impact. So I think that this is the year. I think this is definitely something that's it's perfect for TV. They can build up to it. They can do it. Because you still need to introduce the other characters. You need to introduce the family and Senior Benjamin and Vanguard One and Skarsgård, the Dilapidated Boat.
Yeah, when I saw him dragging Skarsgård, I'm like, how many people have no clue what is going on right now? Like, it's just, it's still one of those things that I know a lot of wrestling fans watched the Matt Hardy stuff, but there's still probably about three times as many fans who did not see this craziness previously. And are just wondering what the hell exactly is going on.
Yeah. I think when, if Bray Wyatt gets thrown into the lake of reincarnation, that Husky Harris will make his return.
We can all only hope that Husky Harris would make a return for a moment, because I, for one, would, as the kids might say, mark out. Because
Oh, they called
he has
Dan
been
Hartley, they called him a Husky,
he
and
has
then wonder
been
why.
what did you say?
They called the man Husky, and then wondered why it didn't get over.
Oh. What? That isn't a good way to get over? I'm shocked. Shocked by your opinion. Shocked and appalled. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, wow.
But
That would be pretty
I
priceless.
really can't. Very excited for this. This should be really good.
Now, I guess we talked a little bit about tag teams earlier. I guess the Bar is one of those other tag teams. Is there a chance that these guys end up getting a WrestleMania match at the same time the Usos finally do?
I think they do. It seems like they're building towards something where maybe a team you don't expect, comes out of the woodwork to challenge them since they've beaten all the other regular teams. I don't know who that could be, but it seems like they're building something up for them.
Yeah, 'cause that was one thing I'm like, because I agree with you. Like, it seems like they're building up to some mystery team, just the way they've been mentioning them beat everyone. And honestly, like, I wrote it in the Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw, that I. As much as I liked what I saw out of the revival in NXT, just the injury history on Raw itself has been too much of a hindrance to that team. Like, it's not that they don't have potential, but they came back, and it's another one where, if you're coming back in January from injuries, you're screwed for WrestleMania. Like, you've just a unless you're a huge name, like a John Cena or an Edge coming back from an injury or someone like that, you are not going to get a major spot at WrestleMania, and the Revival is definitely in that situation. So, yeah, I guess I look forward to seeing who the Bar could take on, because much like you, I'm a little lost on who it could be, because it does seem like they have someone in mind, or at least I would think that they have people in mind when they bring these kinds of situations up.
Agreed. I think they probably likely do have something already in mind. There's a number of talents who don't have matches. Who's past the WrestleMania don't seem clear. There's teams from NXT. You could. There's but yeah. There's talent on Raw. There's talent out there. You grab and put in.
Yeah, funny thing, I actually didn't think about anyone from NXT for some reason. But yeah, the Authors of Pain don't really have a whole lot going on for themselves down there in NXT. So they could certainly provide a fun, hard-hitting match with the Bar that I would fully approve of. But who knows? Like I said, I guess I just didn't even think about that. Who else would do you think that if it was NXT that they might pull up?
has all sorts of pain, maybe sanity.
Oh.
I can see that as a possibility. I'm veering away from the NXT possibility, and we're going with maybe two established stars, you know, joining together for a super team type of deal.
Oh.
Or, you know, maybe even though they've technically beaten the Hardy Boys before, but they have never beaten Woken Matt and Brother Nero before.
Well, you know, I was like, well, I guess this could play into that other discussion.
Right.
Because supposedly, Brother Nero has at least gotten medical clearance from his own doctors, but not necessarily the WWE doctors, to resume wrestling activities.
Oh, he already has.
Oh, okay.
Then there's already broken. Jeff Hardy is cleared to return.
Okay. Well, yeah, I thought I saw that the WWE doctors just hadn't cleared him yet, but if they cleared him then... yeah, I mean, that is certainly a possibility. I think they've talked about them ruining their WrestleMania last year anyway. Because were they supposed to just have... Oh, they were added to the... Was it a ladder match that they had?
Yeah, the Hardys were added, yes, at the last
match. Okay.
I believe Anderson and Gallows went into that match as champions, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
Yes. They hot potatoed the titles a little bit beforehand, but I do remember that, yes.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you still have some history there, because I believe the Bar has, in the past, carped about the Hardys making the match at least harder than it should have been to win.
Right.
So, you could work some variation of that into the storyline.
Yeah. And, speaking of someone who doesn't seem to have a clear path to WrestleMania, but certainly deserves to. Actually, I guess bring us to one Mr. Braun Strowman. Once again, on Monday, he was amazing. Although the thing with the Baby Grand Piano wasn't as impressive as the other things he's done, because there's no way to believe that was he really crushed a man with an actual Baby Grand Piano.
Yeah, there
that pushed things a little far, but it was still fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, there would probably be some very legitimate injuries if something like that really occurred.
Yeah, well, at least they did have him carted off and everything. But Braun Strowman at WrestleMania is it's a mystery right now. There's doesn't appear to be a real clear path for him to have certainly at least a big singles match, unless they go with him and John Cena as a match. Or I did see today that the Big Show made it very clear that he is returning.
Yeah, and, like, I'm still available.
You know what? After the previous work, that's a WrestleMania worthy match. I have no problem with Braun Strowman versus the Big Show at WrestleMania.
Well, and again, like, it's just so tough when you have a guy like Braun Strowman.
He should be in the main event. I mean, he should.
Right, like that. Unfortunately for people like him and the Big Show. Well, and even honestly, in a lot of ways, like Nia Jax, like she pretty much beat the tar out of Asuka, but Asuka finally pulled out a submission win. You know, like there's always something that Braun Strowman kind of beats himself in a lot of his matches when he does lose.
Right, yeah.
So they end up kind of getting a limited use in a lot of ways. Like, unless you go the route of Brock Lesnar, where you just don't have them on TV every week, and they're the champ, and that's the way things are. But they've put him on TV so much, like you said, like, it's it's kind of weird. Like, it's hard for them to fathom that he's been invested in that much and he doesn't already have a major match at WrestleMania.
It's true. I'm just kind of throwing out, you know, speculation and possibilities here, what they could do with him besides put him in the Battle Royal. I mean, remember last year he was on a pretty good tear and they didn't have anything for him at WrestleMania and he ended up in the Battle Royal on the pre-show that he didn't even win. You know.
Oh.
I mean, luckily they were able to, you know, get him back on again when he tried to kill Roman Reigns. But, you know, it does feel weird that for the second year in a row he just doesn't have that big match at WrestleMania because once again the company just won't give up on Roman Reigns in this role. It should be Braun Strowman.
Yeah, and I mean, it's another one, too, that I guess not that Roman Reigns is so small he's not believable against Brock Lesnar. Because he is a very large gentleman who's in very good shape.
Right.
But Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar are basically about the same size. So, you know, I guess it just makes for a more interesting matchup. And like you said, I think we've documented through a lot of our shows, no matter who was on, that they've made Braun Strowman look better than Reigns pretty much the whole time, too. You know, I mean, it's really strange that you still want to go with him. Like, I don't care. Make Reigns look stronger than him from time to time. Like, it was almost bizarre that they didn't make him look stronger in a lot of situations. In hindsight, but whatever. I mean, it's not, and it's another one of those things too that I don't dislike Reigns. Like, I think he's a good wrestler. I think he's a good talker, and I mean that's another part that we've probably covered a lot. That, you know, most of us doing the show don't have a problem with him, but there is clearly a resentment of him in a lot of the fan base.
Oh, there absolutely is. But it just doesn't... It's still just... I like Roman Reigns a lot, but it still doesn't feel real yet. It still doesn't feel like... It's not organic. Braun Strowman is very... people have an reaction to Braun Strowman. The idea of Braun and Brock in the ring together. They don't have that with Reigns and Lesnar. Reigns and Lesnar are going to have a great match. They've had great matches before, so I'm sure they'll have a great match again. But it's still that missing something. That's something that Braun Strowman does have. But, you know, hopefully they've got something good in mind for Braun at WrestleMania. It'd be a shame if he's being wasted at the biggest show of the year again.
Yeah, I agree. Is there anything else to cover in the world of the WWE before I talk about beer?
I think so. Let's hear about Kevin's latest adventures in Sun Granny Brewing.
I've got to admit, the last batch of beer there, which. What was I gonna name this stout? I'm trying to remember what the name was gonna be, but I used some out of date yeast and it did not work as well as in date yeast. So the beer was a little bit of a failure. So these things happen. You live, you learn. I think the previous batch, I used one yeast and one dead yeast, and it made for a way more alcoholic beer. A couple of learning experiences the last two brews. under the belt. But my wife was kind enough to plan a day down at Athens, Ohio, where Jackie O's is a brewery that was renowned before there were breweries on every third block in most major U.S. cities at this juncture. It's down in Athens, Ohio, which is about an hour southeast of Columbus. And yeah, they have a couple other really good breweries that popped up. So we actually went to Little Fish, then Devil's Kettle, and then to Jackie O's, in which case I filled my nice growler that she got me for Christmas, and it was with Matriarch Triple Hopped IPA, and it is fantastic. It has a nice fruity floralness to it. There's a little bit of malty sweetness in there without being too overwhelming. It's really the kind of IPA that I like a whole lot. Very low in the bitterness category. Like I said, more fruity and floral flavors. And I don't know what the alcohol level on it is, but whatever it is, if you somehow find yourself available to any I'll just say any Jackie O's beers. Go ahead and purchase it because I know that they do have a little bit wider distribution than some Ohio companies. So, yeah, that was very tasty beer, and I was just about finished with it about 30 minutes into this show. So, as my
We can
wife
tell,
says,
Kevin. We can tell.
she always knows when I like a beer when I pretty much just destroy it. So, yeah. That is the Belltime beer for Stunt Granny Audio 447. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and wherever you may happen to listen to us. I'm at Frango11. He's at Chris Calamita, and the brand is at Stunt Granny. Have a good night.
Later.